Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
Walking in the newness of life by Christ's resurrection power. My friends, this weekend we celebrate what Jesus did in this whole period of Passover as he was the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. And as the Bible rightly puts it in the last verse of Romans chapter number 4, that he was raised for our justification because the sacrifice that he paid on the cross was pleasing to God. And so he had fulfilled all the requirements of the Lord, taking upon himself the just penalty that was due to us, and in exchange, offering us reconciliation with the Lord. You see, we are called to walk in the newness of life that Christ has purchased for us. But before I speak about this, let's take one step back and realize God's redemption plan. You see, Easter is what it's referred to now around the world, which in its essence is Passover, is essentially the culmination of God's entire redemptive plan. You see, without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin would remain unforgiven. Death would have the final victory, and humanity would be without hope of reconciliation with God and eternal life. Easter is a glorious declaration that God's love has triumphed and new creation has begun. It's the reason for our hope, joy, and the power to live this new life. You see, the redemption plan of God begins right in Genesis, even before Genesis, because the Bible often refers to Jesus as the Lamb that was slain even before the foundation of the world. Let's look at creation and the fall. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, suitable, pleasant, and he approved it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning at the sixth day." In the Amplified Classic Version, the Bible's accounts of creation in Genesis reveal that God created a perfect world. There was no sin, there was no death, there was perfect communion with humanity. Man was given dominion and ruled over all of creation. The first two chapters of Genesis paints this picture of man's blissful existence in the Garden of Eden. But in Genesis chapter 3, sin entered the scene through Adam and Eve's disobedience. Sin was passed down to the generation and the offsprings of Eve. Sin brought the curse on man, death and separation, and a broken relationship with God. You see, the Bible now declares, when man willfully chose to disobey the command of God, where the Lord says, "You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for you are dust and you'll return to dust." The Bible further says in Romans chapter 6 verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But even in the fall, God spoke a promise that a descendant of Eve would one day crush the serpent, Satan, and defeat sin and death. This was the first prophecy of redemption, and the seed of the woman referred to Jesus, our Savior. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he will bruise and tread your head underfoot, and you will lie in wait and bruise his heel." God's promise continues, covenant and prophecy. You see, in the Old Testament, we read about God's moves as he keeps developing his rescue plan for mankind. God entered into a covenant relationship with a man called Abraham, where he begins to reveal himself and his nature to man. He says in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse the one who curses you, and in all the families of the earth, through you and all the families of the earth will be blessed." It should be noted that this promise essentially pointed to Jesus, the seed of Abraham. The descendants of Abraham grew and multiplied to become one nation of Israel. With Israel, God established them as a nation to carry his promise. the law and sacrifices that were instituted in Israel gave the effect of temporary coverings for sin, and these were shadows pointing ahead to the perfect sacrifice to come. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have appointed it to you to make atonement on the altar for your lives, since it is the lifeblood that makes atonement. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1 reads, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the reality itself of those things, it can never perfect the worshippers by same sacrifices they continually offer year after year. Isaiah 53 clearly points out to a suffering servant who will be pierced for our sins and bear our iniquities. This we know was Jesus, foretold centuries before Easter or Passover. You see, Jesus was the fulfillment of God's redemption plan. He was the perfect lamb, and that's why his cousin John the Baptist, when he saw him, not just through carnal eyes, but through spiritual eyes, declared what has now been famously recorded in John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, the Bible says, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist recognized and announced Jesus of Nazareth as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This was the culmination and the fulfillment of God's redemption plan that he had going through the ages. Jesus came as the perfect sinless sacrifice to fulfill what Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 had promised. At the cross, he took the full penalty of sin, but that morning, the empty tomb declared victory over sin, hell, and the grave. Wow. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. For just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. Jesus is the second Adam that has reversed the curse of the first Adam. Thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45. Wow, the resurrection marks a new creation. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, new has come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Just like creation began on the first day, Easter marks a new creation week or Passover. Jesus, risen from the dead, starts a new humanity restored and redeemed. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. John 20 verse 1. The end looks like the beginning, but better. The resurrection is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of restoration. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 and 5, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 to 5. Whereas Genesis chapter 3 brought the curse, Revelation 22 brings the healing of the nations. The tree of life returns. Sin is no more. God walks with humanity again. Easter then is not an isolated event. It is the turning point in the story that God started in the garden. It is where death is reversed, the serpent is crushed, and creation bursts from a garden tomb. Now let's get into walking into the newness of life by Christ's resurrection power. You see, we're called to walk in the newness of life or be empowered to live new lives, as many of us that have received the new birth. Walking in the resurrection power of Christ is not just a one-time event on one Easter Sunday. When we receive a fiery preaching on the subject as we annually have become accustomed to, it is meant to be our daily reality as Christians. To make walking in resurrection power a daily reality is a process of ongoing surrender, dependence on the Holy Spirit, and intentional engagement with God's word and his people. It's about living out the truth that we're no longer slaves to sin and death, but are empowered by the very life of Christ within us. Here's how we make that a constant experience grounded in scripture, continual awareness of our identity in Christ. We have to understand our death and resurrection with Christ. We need to constantly remember that through our faith in Christ, we have died to our old self and be raised and have been raised to new life. We were buried therefore by him in baptism into death, as Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, in order just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we will no longer be enslaved to sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 to 6. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, living as new creations. You see, we need to recognize that the resurrection power has made us new creations with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is our power source. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in believers through the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on His strength and His guidance. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you, Romans chapter 8 verse 11, that he may grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner self. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, seeking the Spirit's filling daily. We need to continually seek the filling of the Holy Spirit through prayer, surrender, and obedience to God's word. The Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by him, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. We need to be constantly engaging God's word. You see, this is the truth that is our foundation. The Bible reveals the nature of our new life in Christ and how we walk in his power. We need to regularly read, study, and meditate on scripture. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17. Oh, I love this portion of scripture in Romans chapter number 12, where it says, we are not to be conformed to this age, verse 1 to 2, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. We need to live in obedience and submission to the Lord. You see, walking in resurrection power means aligning our lives with God's will and obeying his commands. This demonstrates that Christ is truly the Lord of our lives. Living in Christ, we now have the power to say no and resist sinful tendencies. We're instructed to not let sin therefore reign in our mortal body, because it now becomes a choice we have the power to make. Romans chapter 6 verse 12 to 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires, and do not offer any part of it as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you, because you are no longer under the law, but under grace. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but in my mere absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 and verse 12 to 13. We need to cultivate a mindset, an attitude of victory and hope. We need to focus on what Christ has done by giving us the victory over sin, death, and the powers of darkness. This fuels a mindset of hope and empowerment. When the Bible says this in Colossians chapter 2 verse 15, it says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public example of them having triumphed over them through the cross. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, little children, you are of God and you belong to him, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We need to renew our minds daily. We consciously need to choose to focus on truth, on righteousness and the promises of God, rather than dwelling on negativity or defeat. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 in the Amplified says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely, brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Engaging in prayer and fellowship, constant communication with God. Prayer is our lifeline, or is our lifeline to God's power. Through consistent prayer, we invite his presence and strength into our lives. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 to 7, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which reassures our hearts and transcends all understanding, will garrison your heart in Christ Jesus. And we need the encouragement and support of the body of Christ. That's why we cannot neglect fellowshipping. We need to live lives of love and service. You see, the resurrection power transforms us to be more like Christ. It's characterized by love, compassion, and a desire to serve others. And that's why John chapter 13 verse 34 says, Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another. And just as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love and have unselfish concern for one another. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us, so that we might walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. My friends, as we celebrate what Christ has done by being raised from the dead, sealing our redemption, let us not just stop right there. Let us take all these principles to ensure that we are walking in the fullness of God's resurrection power that has brought new life to us.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.